Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. So we are going through the chapter 1, and then so we discussed about the five kinds of liberations and whom the liberation is for. Then what are the primary characteristics of devotional service and the further characteristics of devotional service. Now, next we go on what are the sinful activities. The Lord also gives His word that He will protect surrendered souls from the reaction of all sinful activities. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the distress from sinful activities are due both to the sins themselves and to sins committed in our past lives. Actually, we did it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Generally, one commits sinful activities due to ignorance. But ignorance is no excuse for evading the reaction, sinful activities. Sinful activities are of two kinds, those which are matured and those which are not matured. The sinful activities for which we are suffering at the present moment are called matured. The many sinful activities stored within us for which we are not yet suffered are considered immature. So did we also discuss about? Okay.
On this last point, the sinful activities stored within us we have not yet suffered. Does that mean activities that we have not yet performed, or that we have performed and haven't received reaction for?
Well, we performed an activity which created the reaction, right? Now, we perform activity because we have a desire to perform the activity. And that's now due to actually the anarthas in the heart. Now, the anartha in the heart, it's like a seed. Now, when we are in the situation which is favorable for the seed to grow, then the anartha starts growing into a desire. So first it is small, but then as we maintain the desire, it grows into bigger. Now when it grows, so similar like plant, then at one point it gives fruit. So when the fruits are there, that's when actually we perform the activity. So by performance of the activity, then we perform the activity and then we get the reaction for it later on. Now, what we can do, we can, even though the anartha is in the heart, and then we get exposed to the situation where the anartha get a favorable situation when it can grow. But we can stop it. sooner we understand that we are under the influence of the mind, and now that the anartha is growing into desire, so then sooner we understand that, then more chance we have that with intelligence we can stop that, and we can stop that by analyzing the situation. Now if we don't do that, then it will grow, and after when the plant is already big, it's like a weed, we don't have really much, we cannot control the desire anymore. It's just a question of it's going to happen, just a question of when and how. And then we get the reaction from performing the activity, but then that does not, the reaction is to teach us, to show us that actually the performance of the reaction wasn't so good. And be it positive or negative, it doesn't matter. Right?
Yes.
Because you may win in the lottery, and then, so then you are gambling. Based on that, you may actually win the first prize. But then, because you have it, now you start spending, and you buy yourself things which you didn't have, and you are becoming dependent on higher living expenses, and you may even start doing things which you were not doing before, and that's not good. But the reaction, once it stops, and then you will suffer for that, because you will not have what you want. And the reactions for that, you were doing something which you were not supposed to, also you get that. So whatever we may perceive as positive or negative, it doesn't matter. It's not connected with Krishna. It's all sinful. So we perform the activity, we get a reaction for it. Now the reaction, it shows us we should not have done it. But it's a question on us how we understand it. If we take it seriously, then we will be cleared of that. So the anartha will disappear. And because there is no seed, the seed disappears of the desire. So actually even the desire to commit the activity disappears also.
How does the seed disappear?
See, this seed, to actually remove the anartha is very difficult. Because to remove the anartha, you have to, willingly, you have to consciously actually want to get rid of it. That's why, you see, even by chanting of the holy name, you chant holy name once, and the one of chanting holy name has the power to remove all the sinful activities of the whole universe. But we chanted many times, and still we are not in the material world. So it's because we are holding on our anarthas. We feel it's part of us. And in fact, we feel sheltered by the anarthas. Because I know who I am, now I know how to deal with certain situation and this, that. And for that I'm recognized. For them, they know me, like, oh, you are cool, and oh, you are this, and no. But if I give up this, if I give up being cool in front of my friends, then maybe they will not be my friends anymore. Then my shelter is evaded. I'm losing my shelter. What if? Or I really like some sweets, and I don't care if they are offered or not. I just I love them. I can eat them the whole day, the whole night. Now that's anartha. But if you decide, I want to give up the anartha. Okay, so then don't eat the sweets when they are not offered. Don't lust over. Yeah, but then if I give up the taste for that sweet, then my friends maybe will say, what happened to you? You don't eat it anymore? you're shattered, it's compromised. So that's why we are afraid. And that's because we don't know. No, we don't know who is Krishna. So then it's difficult to surrender to Krishna if you don't know. And that's why it's so important to, you know, follow the chain of parampara, because you know your guru. And your guru is recommending you to his guru and through the other acharyas to Krishna. So based on trust, we can develop trust and faith in our guru. We can surrender to him, and by that we surrender to the Lord. But it's so one chanting of the holy name can remove all the anarthas if we desire so. But if we keep them in the heart for later, then they will not be removed. Maybe little minimized, but still there until we fully remove them. And this is also a problem when we chant the holy name. So in the beginning, we chant with full enthusiasm, and now everything seems so wonderful, so nice. And then after some time, then we get bothered by the mind. We get, it becomes more difficult to chant. Now I cannot concentrate, I have no enthusiasm. No, I don't like the chanting, I don't get the taste for the chanting. So there's the same reason. See, when we are enthusiastic, so we do everything, no passion, and then just do, let's go for it, it's new, it's nice, it's good. But that's the time when we should fully surrender and get rid of the anarthas, the attachments. But we don't, because this is our personality, how we perceive it. But the holy name purifies us. And at the moment also when we are chanting, we have the option. The anarthas are there, and we can just say, well, I don't want them, get lost, it will go. But we don't say that. See, well, just leave it, maybe for after. But until then, you were ignorant of the anarthas in the heart. You didn't know that you have them. But when you are chanting, the purification of the heart is there, and you know you have them. So you feel actually more contaminated after you chant the holy name, if you maintain your desires, than before. Because before you were nicely covered by the ignorance, and as ignorance is bliss, so then now you were blissful. But then after chanting for some time, then now you feel even worse. Because now you have them, but you don't know what to do, and you don't know how it's coming. So it's just a question of the consciousness. I don't want it. I have trust in my guru, I have trust in the acharyas, I have trust in Krishna, and this is the obstacle. So then why not to give it up? Do that and everything goes smoothly. Yes.
Is it up to us to chant purely, or does Krishna give a pure chanting?
What can we do? All the qualifications, everything, what we can do comes from Krishna anyway. So our one can be only the desire. Are we planning to? Do we want to maintain our desires, or do we want to please Krishna? So the way we want to please Krishna, the way we surrender, then Krishna will give us the ability to to do. We can, if we really want to glorify Krishna, then within a moment we can maybe create hundreds of verses to glorify Krishna. Krishna will give the ability if this is our desire. If it's our desire to chant the holy name, Shudanam, then Krishna will give the ability. Yes?
You were talking about how if you commit a sinful activity, you get a reaction so that you can understand that it's bad. Yes?
Yeah.
So I was thinking that I myself, during the Dham, for example, I've experienced that when I do things that are not connected with Krishna, I'm trying to establish my own thing or trying to be proud or something correct out of etiquette, for example, then I get, I've sensed an immediate reaction. And sometimes I contemplate on it, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that, I wasn't correct. So can you mention something about how we should perceive those reactions for our sinful activities in the Dham?
See, how it works is that the desires now comes through the mind, because the mind is connected with the senses. Now, when you are performing something based on the desire of the mind, then you generally know if it's right or wrong, based on the intelligence. It's just a question of who is in control. If the mind, so then the just intelligence is only watching, no, and it cannot really do much. You know you are supposed to do something, but you really don't want to, so then you go to sleep. You know it's not right, but you hope that just it will go by, nobody will notice it, or somehow somebody else will do it. But that's if we don't do anything about it, then it will just get worse and worse, and then we will start getting really into ignorance, because we will consider, well, okay, it went once, so next time I have to make it even longer, more sophisticated, start to think about how to do this activity to compromise the intelligence. But if we at the moment say, well, no, I'm not supposed to do that, I'm supposed to do my duty, so then we do that duty based on the intelligence, and we just conquer the mind. And we may not have the taste to perform the duty in the beginning, but and the mind will keep bothering. No, look, you have to get up. No, you are tired. No, just keep sleeping. No problem. No, just say that you are sick or make something up. But if you keep doing that, it becomes habit. When it becomes habit, the mind is weaker and weaker and weaker. And then when the mind is not bothering you, you should be able to find a taste in it. First, you find a taste that, yes, I'm able to do my duty. That's a lower taste. But at least feel good about yourself that I get up in the morning, that's good, now I can do. No. But then what to do with it? So you should still get from the lower taste to the higher taste. Now I have extra time. Now I can use it for my japa, for reading, for devotional service. Then you get the benefit from all the austerity which is done. And that's pleasing. Then you get satisfaction from that. But still you have to watch, because the mind, until the anatta's in the heart, then whenever we come into a situation which connects to the anatta's, then again something starts growing, some desire. And we have to be very alert. We should not maintain the desires. That's what Prabhupada also writes, the maintenance of materialistic desires. That's the desire to keep them, keep the anatta's inside, in the heart. If we don't maintain, we just let them go, then situation may be any, and we will not get agitated, we will not get influenced by the mind, so we can perform the activities, by the intelligence. That means we can easily follow Guru Sadhu Shastra. Yes.
Shai, how can you get rid of the desire to keep desires?
It's, you don't have to do anything. You just don't desire to keep the desires in yourself. See, the holy name is all powerful. There's no doubt. So by chanting, you can get, the desire can be removed at once. Just one chanting can remove them. But we are not sincere enough. When Ramanujacharya was eating, and then the crumble fell into the water, the fish took it and went up in forehand form, all the disciples were astonished. Now, how is it possible? No, we eat your prasad now for years and years, and we are still here. The fish just take one crumble and then it's gone. Go to Vaikuntha. So how is that? So then the fish didn't have any desire, right? It's just the following the nature. So in the neutral state. Well, there's a crumble, no, and it's something which I'm supposed to open mouth, no, take it, no, eat it, and then it's gone. Didn't have any attachments to, oh, my children are there, or my bank account, my car, my house. No, nothing like that. No, or if I go, then no, nobody will recognize me anymore. No, it's not there. The fish didn't have these. So it was free of desires as such. So then it could have gone. But we, even though we are performing activities to purify ourselves, no, like we are not trying to make the fire, but we are pouring water on the fire at the same time. So how do we do it? Is that we have to make clear, not to us, the goal, and then we see, now in the Vaidya Bhakti, which are the rules to follow, and those rules will take us, now farther, so we can start performing the activities in pure devotional service. Yeah, it may be. But, you know, it's like Yamunacharya, he also mentions, like, when he thinks of sex, he spits on it. So, it comes. Because it's a material world, but it doesn't affect him in any way. He doesn't have anartha, which makes him to be, you know, attached to sex. So, even though he may be exposed to a thought, but it will not grow into desire or anything else because there is nothing to grow. There is no seed. But what is the right claim? See, we also should understand that we don't know what we actually should have. The right approach should be just we really don't know what is best for us. Now, if we fully surrender to Krishna, so whatever it comes, we should be satisfied with. And we should know that's the best. But if we cannot do that, then Krishna knowing that... Well, if I take your house away, because for you it's the best if you get rid of it, you are too attached to it. But if I take the house away, what will you say? Will you be, all right, it's Krishna's arrangement, we should go to Vrindavan and live under the tree? Or will you, oh Krishna, why did you do this to me? No. I was doing so much service for you and then you take my house. So that will not be beneficial for us. So Krishna knows what's the best, but he is waiting for the moment when we are ready for it. And so as long as we are maintaining our own desires, oh Krishna, please can you give me this? Oh Krishna, can you please arrange this? Oh Krishna, can you please make this disappear? So we are ordering him, and then based on our relationship, Krishna may oblige, he is loving all the living entities. But to the extent how much we discover our relationship with him. And he may as well do that. But because we are ordering him, the relationship will not be very deep. Of course not.
We think that's the goal.
That's what we discussed yesterday, liberation. Liberation is just like a stepping, like a door. And sometimes we don't even notice that we go through the door. But if we make the door the goal, so once we come to it, then what? We detach ourselves from the material world, but we have no attachment to Krishna. So what do? Then we just get bewildered. We don't know anything. So if we leave that on Krishna, on our spiritual master, and just perform our duties, and then try to perform them such, so we get taste for doing these duties. So it's not a duty anymore, it's because we want to do. So then we can remember Krishna, always. And if we can perform that, then Krishna will arrange the situation the best possible way for us, how it's supposed to be. And then we don't have to even think about what is the best for us. So if Krishna wants us to be here, okay, we will be here. If Krishna wants us to be somewhere else, okay, we will just be there. But what is there? What can I do? Where there is devotional service, then we can be anywhere doing anything. But our desires, I want to be here because I have friends here, I have this here, I'm already here for a long time, so I'm attached to the place. So that's our desire. But as much as we let Krishna decide about us, then he knows better about us than we know about us. So that's the highest stage. Let Krishna do what he considers the best. I'll just do however I can please Krishna. And then you see the Goswamis. The Goswamis, they just keep writing their literature. They meditate about Krishna. They forget to sleep, right? They don't think about, it's 8 o'clock, I should go to sleep. Or, prasad, what happened? Why are you late? Nothing like that. They just forget to eat sometimes. But then Krishna is so merciful, he knows. So then he arranges. Something happened. So some gopi, or coward boy, just gopa, comes with some glass of milk. And sometimes even Krishna himself, he comes. When he is so attracted. So how we do, what we do, it's very important. Like Shyamananda Pandit, when he was sweeping the Seva Kunj, he by his consciousness, by his attitude, he created such an attraction that Srimati Radharani comes herself. That's something very special. So it's not the type of activity, it's the depth of the activity which we perform, and it can be anything. Okay, so how to remove sinful reactions? In his instructions to Uddhava, Krishna says, "My dear Uddhava, devotional service unto me is just like a blazing fire which can burn into ashes unlimited fuel supplied to it." So, another explanation. How to perform devotional service? Devahuti addresses her son, Kapiladeva, and says, "My dear Lord, there are 9 different kinds of devotional service, beginning from hearing and chanting. Anyone who hears about your pastimes, who chants about your glories, who offers your obeisances, who thinks of you, and in this way execute any of the 9 kinds of devotional service, even if he is born in a family of dog eaters, becomes immediately qualified to perform sacrifices." So here it is that it's a chanting of the holy name, then or any of the 9 processes of devotional service,
And anybody who hears or who chants, then he is...
No, it doesn't matter in what caste or what origin or what he is. He is qualified to perform sacrifice. That means that he can take up devotional service. And that's the most important. And this is actually, this is only given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before that, no, there were, it wasn't possible that, no, like low class, no, people from the society, then they would be able to even think of worshipping the Lord or doing, not doing anything connected with devotional service. That was only for the highest of the classes. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his mercy, then now we are able to take up devotional service and we are able to experience the highest levels of it. But it's up to us how much we actually are going to merge into it. Get really the to see and to satisfy Krishna.
If a person is born in a family of dog eaters, it means that his past activities were all sinful. But even such a person takes to the path of devotional service and begins to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He is at once fit to perform the ritualistic ceremonies. This means that his sinful reactions have immediately become neutralized. What are the four kinds of effects due to sinful activities stated in Padma Purana? The effect which is not yet fructified, the effect which is lying a seed, the effect which is already matured, and the effect which is almost matured. It is also stated that all these four effects become immediately vanquished for those who surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and become engaged in his devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. So here, that's what... These are the stages. So lying as a seed, that's the anartha. Then, when it's growing, so it's almost matured, then becomes matured, and then we get the fruits. So four stages, then we have, we are experiencing, and then based on each one, then we may have a little control. In the beginning, we may have little control over it, but ultimately, unless we remove the seed of it, then it can come anytime back, and we are going to again experience the same suffering. Yes. See, I left it actually as I'll change it to what I understand it. I left it as Prabhupada wrote it. It's exactly from Nectar of Devotion. Because you can take it also that from the other side, that after it becomes fructified, then the activity happens, you get the reaction, and because of the seed, then again it starts growing. But I would put it then first as a seed, because then the anartha is the cause of it. Now, so that's the seed. Now, if the field of activity becomes such, so the seed can start growing. Same like you take a seed and you put it in the ground. If it's in the ground, then it starts growing. If it's not, or the conditions are, you don't put water or something, it won't grow. But if you make the conditions right, it starts growing. So it grows, then it matures, and it fructifies. The fruits
creates again seeds. So that's the end of the process. Yeah. Yes.
If one becomes free from anarthas, is that the same as becoming free from the conditioned nature?
Well, if you become free from anarthas, then yes, conditioned nature basically has. You may get the thoughts, but you will not be influenced by the material nature, because there is nothing which connects the material nature and your mind. So the mind will be fully engaged in different activities, not the senses, not the material perception of the senses, because you don't have the desires. Therefore, you will be tempted. That's also the whole point when you have. Nowadays in the world they are trying to. People are trying to give up smoking, give up drinking, give up drugs, and it's so difficult. And that they have centers which they do it, but they never guarantee that you get free of it. But there were many devotees who were addicted to drugs. But just taking up Krishna consciousness and take the higher taste, so then they naturally gave up the addiction. That's because when you have the higher taste, you are not thinking about the lower one. But when they have their own sessions, how they do, they are trying to first minimize it. But ultimately, it's as long as you are thinking about it, then there is always a chance that you are going to perform it again. Because the thought, again, makes the desire grow. The only way how you can do it, you remove the thought. Means you remove the anartha, so the thought has no influence on the anartha. So you have to get some higher taste, which then the lower taste just has no meaning, and then we lose the meaning. Well, I mean, I don't need smoking, so I don't want it. It's not that, I'll wait. Maybe there is some cigarette which has some flavored smoke which I love so much. So maybe just that one. So we keep thinking, is it out? Somebody made it? No. That's not the point. The point is that the higher taste just completely removes the thinking of smoking anymore. That means the anartha is removed and you are free of that anartha. Same like, I mean, when you have devotees, then devotees don't think about meat eating, right? So even going nearby, say, some butcher's shop, if you need to go, then you still don't feel attracted to what's inside. So, okay, well, it's necessary, I have to walk there, but you don't feel attraction for it. So it's not difficult once you already have other goal, higher goal. So you're not thinking about it every day. I cannot eat this, I cannot eat this. No, just think about something different, higher, and you stop thinking about this at all. So the anartha is free to go. You don't need to even think about it. You are not afraid. You're not afraid that by not eating meat, then you will be different personality. No, you are just free of the anartha.
If we become free from the anartha, then if a thought of engaging in some sinful activity comes into our mind, we won't be affected by it. But is there any time when those thoughts will stop coming into the mind?
No. But see, we don't have to be concerned about it.
Right.
It's like you go and you may see some dogs having sex, right? You cannot avoid, you cannot no, remove all the dogs from the world, right? So okay, so you see that now. If you are not attracted to sex, then you will not think about no yourself having sex, right? So it doesn't matter. No, you see, you just walk and then just no dogs or no cats. Who cares? So it doesn't affect you at all. But if the anatta is there, then it may remind you something, and then maybe you start growing desire, and then you fall for it. That's the problem with having the anatta, and that's the advantage of not having the anatta. Yes.
You mentioned people were smoking, right? Giving less and less until writing in the person. But that's not useful because it hasn't removed the anatta. When the devotee comes, especially the beginning, should we have both processes? One was removed and another one which...
Mm-hmm. But see, like swimming, right? You have few processes. You take floaties and you keep swimming. And then, no, and then when something happens, oh, no, 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 I cannot go. And then maybe take one floaty only. No, you do. Or, no, somebody just throws you in the water. And then, oh, you may be drowning for some time. But then you catch up. And then you find out how to not be above the water. And then you maintain, you develop some technique that you can hold above the water. And then after that, just develop the technique, know how to be no more efficient. So, yes, okay, it would work. But the point is that longer you make it, then more chance that it will reoccur is there. So, we try to do it as quick as possible. I have heard that... He was one devotee during Srila Prabhupada's time, and he was addicted drinking wine. Everything else he was following, just he liked the wine. And because of that, then he could not move as a brahmachari to the temple. So then he asked Srila Prabhupada, what should I do? How should I get rid of the anartha? And Srila Prabhupada told him, well, just offer what's good in the wine to Krishna. He said, okay. And then suddenly, like after 1 week, then he was in the temple. But then devotees, oh, what happened? No, how did you? No, you are not addicted anymore? He said, no, I gave up. Why? No, it was so difficult. No, what happened? He said, well, I put wine in the glass, put it in front of Krishna, and then offering the best in the wine, no, to Krishna. But then I was thinking, what's the best? What's good actually in the wine? So it doesn't smell good, doesn't taste good, no. The color maybe, no. Okay, but you can make also juice and you can get the same color. So he realized that it was pointless to be attached to something like this. Because even Krishna cannot eat it. There's nothing he can offer to the Lord. So he uses the intelligence to analyze, you know, over the mind and then destroy the attachment. That's the point when you use your intelligence this way. It's like you can see, you may plan, now you go out for some trip with the whole family, and then everything is making plans. We will go not this, and we will swim over there, and then go there. We will see some nice places, and just make the whole arrangement. And then yes, on Saturday, morning early we go, and then we will spend the whole weekend really nicely. So then you are making plans. You are so attached to it already, and then you wake up Saturday morning, and it's raining. And then it's cold and raining. You cannot do anything. So where is your enthusiasm? Anything which you created in the mind or what you do, immediately destroyed. There is no attachment anymore that we will go and swim there and walk there and do this. It's immediately destroyed because situation. So if we know how to, then with the intelligence we can create favorable situation that it destroys the attachment of the mind. But that's possible now in the beginning stage. So therefore we have to be very alert when we see that the desire starts growing. We have the potency not to use the intelligence to analyze. It's bogus. Not, we should not do it. Then we can get it destroyed. And at that moment also we can get fully rid of the anartha. It's in our power. But if we don't do that, then we have to go again through the whole process, get the fruits, do the activity, and then get the reactions for it and see what happens. Yeah? Yes?
Way to remove anartha is by a higher taste.
See, you have to be willing. You have to have. You have to be decided that you want to give up that anartha. The holy name can remove it. Devotional service can remove that. There is no doubt. But with your free will, you can be even more powerful than the holy name. See, Krishna, every living being has the potency to love Krishna. Krishna he loves everybody. But he's not going to enforce his love on you. You have to want that. You have to remove the ignorance and you have to look for to make the first step. Means again awaken the dormant love which we have as a jivas for Krishna, and that way then we can develop it. Once that's there, that Krishna sees the spark, then he can immediately create situations, he can create anything favorable for, so then the spark becomes a flame. But if we don't desire that, then what Krishna can do? How much can he do? Even if we are just purely in ignorance, not knowing, then Krishna can do. He can remove the ignorance. But if we are against it, if we fight, I don't want to, how much can he do? You understand?
It seems like we want pure love of Godhead, but at the same time we're still holding tight to.
Yes.
So how do we let go?
Then you have to develop. You see, you have to get a realization that holding on, that it's useless. How do you get the realization? Not by being on the Facebook, on the computer, having 2,000 friends, and feeling how great you are. Not by that. You develop, really deep relationship among the devotees, based on darati pratigrihnati. Then, once you develop relationship with the devotees, then you become confident and you become very enthusiastic now to develop more relationship with other devotees, because there is a taste. And seeing that, when you are getting the taste of the relationship, then you get a glimpse of taste what will be the relationship between you and Krishna. So then you get the great enthusiasm to want to develop that. But if you don't have that, then how can Krishna help? See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He doesn't care if you have or not. He pushes the Sangita movement on. Out of his calls us mercy. Nitarana Mahaprabhu, Nitarana Prabhu, right? He goes and he begs at the door, please chant the holy name. Not everywhere he's accepted, right? Sometimes they, you know, beat him, they kick him out, they swear at him. He doesn't give up. Because he knows this is the only way, you know, how you can have in this Kali Yuga the people to get actually delivered. Because the people don't know what they want. You give them a jewel and they will think it's just some piece of rock. They don't know the value of what you are giving them. So, and then, you know, even you tell them this is the greatest of the jewel, they will still keep fighting at you. No, no, this is just a piece of mud. This is rock. This is, has no value. And you can try to prove it to them, but they will not listen to you. Because they are so engrossed in their own, you know, little materialistic activities, and they just don't want to listen to you. So if somebody doesn't want, then what can you do? So we have to be very careful what we desire to desire. Because many of these things, no, Krishna does fulfill, and then we wonder, no, why did he fulfill them? And we claim, no, I didn't really want that. Well, you did.
So what would we do in a situation where we really want something, but we know it's bad for our advancement in Krishna?
We should seek association of the Vaishnavas. Guhyam akhyati prichati. Again, comes to that. So with that six activities among the devotees, you can solve any problem. And then you finish with Bhunkte Bhojayate, and then everything is auspicious. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the meaning of what we should do. Maybe just next time. I have to go also for the class. Okay. Well, I got some of the essays, and I don't know, maybe you want to look at them. See in the essays a few important points as we discussed, that you use, there is a question, to answer the question, use the points from the chapter. Then you want to use some supporting points from some other literature, other places, no problem. But you should come to a conclusion that how does actually, you know, what is your realization from that that essay? Well, what is the realization from applying that point? So, and if you use practical point, you know, how would you apply it? How does it apply to your life? And how do you see the connection between the application and Krishna? Then that's the full, basically, no, it covers everything. So then, do not cover not all these points. So then it should come to the point of realization. You should contemplate on how does that point apply to you, and then how do you see it, no, practically, no, as a realization. So then try for that no, you cover these points in the essay. So when you think it's, when you are writing it, it's not just putting some points together, but actually we want you to contemplate. Think about how does that apply to you personally.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare